All right, turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the second chapter of John, please, while I get us started in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for our time together. I thank you that you paved the way for the Word of God to go forth. I thank you, Lord God, for the praise reports that we heard tonight. I thank you, Lord God, that you are cutting through the darkness and bringing forth your light into this nation. I thank you that other nations are seeing the light come forth as well. And I praise you, Father God. We give you glory and honor that you have brought us this gift to lead our nation in this season. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you. We thank you. So merciful of you. As we prepare to press into your word, I ask that you would bring forth your Holy Spirit to be our teacher, our guide through this time together. I pray that you would clear all distractions. I pray that you would just open up the precious nuggets of your word to us and help us to receive all that you have for us tonight. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for the preciousness of who you are in our lives. In your precious and holy name. Amen. I'm in awe at the wonders and the goodness of God. I'm in awe that we deserved so much, so much judgment to come on this nation. We deserved. We deserved judgment. And God, in his mercy, has saw fit through the intercessors, through the years and years and years of our repentance before him, to stay his hand of judgment and bring forth in his mercy a president like we have in office today. I'm just in awe at how much he loves us, how much he cares for us, and what he is desiring to do in our lives in this season of time. That's a beautiful thing. John chapter 2. Let's start at verse 1. I am just in awe. Just in awe at the awesomeness of who God is, at the awesomeness of his mercy. He has paved the way for us, this window of time, this window of grace for us to enter in and go deeper in him than we ever thought possible. He is just washing over me with waves of this understanding that this window of time, this season of grace that he brought forth, Donald Trump, to lead our nation, is a season for his children to enter into him in deeper levels than we've ever gone before, not just as individuals, but as a child of the living God, as a body of Christ. We have a season of grace to press in. We think, wow, we thought once we got this man in office, we wouldn't have to be fighting so hard to make sure everything was accomplished. But the Lord has allowed this to take place. Why? To keep us pressing in to him, because his cry is that we would be a house of prayer, that his children would raise up and become a house of prayer. That we would be so in tune with the Spirit of God that we ourselves would be vessels of prayer, where His Spirit would reside and we could be drawn into intercession with Him on a moment's notice, where we stay in prayer, continued, ongoing prayer. Paul said to pray without ceasing. When we pray in the Spirit and we pray without ceasing, do you know what happens? It's like our spirit is doing push-ups all day long. It is strengthening our bodies. It is strengthening our spirit, man. It is preparing us so when the battle comes, it doesn't exhaust us, but the battle is plowed through until we receive the victory and we worship our God. And then we move back into prayer. We have been called to be a house of prayer. We have been created to be a house of prayer. Vessels of righteousness. Vessels of righteousness. We cannot be a house of prayer if we are not a vessel of righteousness. It doesn't work. When we have His Spirit within us, our spirit man, you know, it yearns for Him. It yearns for communion with our God. It yearns, hunger and thirst. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He is righteousness. When we hunger and thirst for Him, hunger that's eagerly longing for Him. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, it draws us ever closer to Him. We have been created to be vessels of intercession, a house of prayer. If we allow Him, and if we press in, it's not just allowing Him, you see. We can't just wake up in the morning and lay there and say, okay, God, make me a house of prayer. Let's do this. I'm waiting. We got to get up and we got to press in and we've got to seek His face. Day in and day out, seek, seek, seek. Press in deeper and deeper and deeper into Him. Until our spirit is communing with Him on a level that is so intimate, so in tune with Him, we can be drawn into intercession in an instant. This is what He's creating us for, to be a house of prayer. John chapter 2, we have the wedding at Cana. Jesus, He's already met with John the Baptist. He already has a handful of disciples that are with Him. He and His mother and His disciples are here at the wedding. It is His very first miracle done. His very first public miracle. Where He turns the water into wine. What a beautiful and intimate thing for us to see the Lord Jesus Christ at a wedding. He has come for His bride. And the manifestation of His glory is done at a wedding. The union between a man and a woman. A beautiful and intimate thing that He has had the privilege to share in. His first miracle. at a wedding. As I read and studied this today, and over the last several days, actually, the Lord began to wash over me. Consider what the bridegroom did while he walked this earth. Consider what he did for the bride. Consider his ministry began. His public ministry began here. Did he take? No. He gave. There was a need and he gave, just like the Father did when his people were wandering in the wilderness. They hungered. He gave them manna from heaven. They were thirsty. He gave them water from a rock. For 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Their clothes did not wear out. Their feet did not swell. They had all that they need. They had a cloud by day. They had fire by night. They had the protection from the sun with the cloud. They had warmth and protection from the animals that might hunt them at night through the fire. He was with them in their time of the wilderness. He gave when there was need. Jesus came, he walked this earth, and what did he do? He gave when there was need. And he began at a wedding feast. How beautiful to celebrate a union as he was embarking on his path for union with his bride. Not long after here, John 2, verse 13 through 16. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of the small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. This is the first cleansing of the temple. You see, Jesus came for relationship with his people. I've talked about this before. I've talked about it in the covenant study. I'm telling you, Jesus came for intimacy with his people. He clears out the sacrifices that can be made. He clears out the money changers because this is not to be a den of thieves. This is to be a house of prayer. Isaiah 56, my Father's house shall be a house of prayer. Intimacy. There is nothing that brings us into greater intimacy with our Lord than prayer. And he's not just calling a handful of intercessors. He is calling forth his children to be intercessors. Paul said to pray without ceasing. Why? Because every believer should be praying without ceasing. If you're going to make it in the end times, because I'm telling you, he's coming soon. And if you're going to make it through the struggle that's going to come in those last days, if you are not a house of prayer, if you yourself have not learned how to be a house of prayer, those are going to be some rough and rocky times. They're going to be rough and rocky for those who have spent all their lives in prayer. He is giving us a period of grace. 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 To enter in and become vessels of prayer. That's the season that we're in. That's why we have to pray so hard. That's why the obstacles on Trump. That's why. Because God is using, he knew that Trump had the ability to stand strong. He knew that he was going to equip him through his 70 years of life to be equipped to stand strong in the midst of every single storm that would come his way. He had equipped him, trained him. And he knew he would raise up an army of intercessors who would surround him in prayer. And he would use this time in history to draw us into him and bring us into the spiritual strength that we need to be walking in. This is the season of preparation, the season of pressing in. You see, the bridegroom came for his bride. He cleaned up the temple. Why? Because the ultimate sacrifice was about to be had. 3 years later, we would see his passion come forth. They wouldn't need the animals anymore, because the Son of God would have come on this earth and died that final sacrificial death for us. His blood would cover a multitude of sins when we bring them to the foot of the cross. Now is the time. Now is the time. While he walked this earth, what did he do for his bride? Consider for a moment the miracles that Jesus did for his bride. He healed her. He healed the lame, the blind, the deaf. He fed her on at least 2 occasions. He fed thousands upon thousands with minimal provision. He fed them all until there was enough food left over for multitude of baskets to be full. He fed his bride. And that was just the tangible evidence of the many times he fed. He spoke into their lives, the Beatitudes. He spoke into their lives. He sought to feed his bride. The disciples that walked with him, day in and day out, they walked, they talked, they slept, they traveled together for 3 years. He poured into their lives. He fed his bride. He sought to restore her. Those that had been rejected. The woman with the issue of blood who spent all that she had. Every doctor that was out there, she sought. Years after year after year, she sought someone to cure her from the issue of blood. And in her faith, she reached out and touched the hem of her garment and she was healed. He restored her. Her life was given back to her. Everything that she did was about getting cured. And in a moment, he restored her. The lepers, banished from the city, banished from human contact, banished from fellowship with their families, their loved ones, let alone going to the temple. He healed them, that they could go and once again have intimacy. They could go to the temple. They could see their families. He restored them. The demon possessed, how many did he deliver? Those of their family feared that they would die as they threw themselves into the fire, as they were so uncontrollable. They had to be chained, and they would break the chains because the demons were so powerful. They overcame them, and they had superhuman strength. Everyone feared them. And he cast out the demons. And they were found clothed and in their right mind. He restored his bride. And he sought to refine her like we read about in Malachi 3. the refiner's fire. He's like the fuller's soap. He seeks to refine his bride. Last year, at the end of the year, the Lord said this was the season of refining, the year of refining, bringing forth a new breed of believers, people who knew how to pray, people who had pressed through the obstacles, people who had allowed God to refine out of them all that was not of him to make way for him. I had an experience not long ago, and I was thinking about this refiner's fire, and I saw an ice cream scooper, go figure, I really love ice cream, but I saw this ice cream scooper, and I saw the Lord coming in and scooping out this, really it wasn't ice cream, it was pretty icky, he's scooping out the ick. Scooping out the ick, and I saw this period of time in my life when he's scooping the ick out. The things that's not pleasing to him. The things that stand in the way of him filling that space in my life. Scooping and scooping. And I thought, are you ever going to be done? There should be a bottom to this. Scooping and scooping. And it's taken quite a long time. Unfortunately, I confess, it's taken longer than I would have liked. When I thought he was almost done, I thought, whew. Thank you, Lord. Almost done. He got out a little melon baller, and he starts scooping into the hard-to-reach places. And I thought, Lord, Lord, will I be ready in time? Can you get everything? You see, by the time he reaches for that melon baller, you've been through enough refining, enough purifying, enough restoration, enough healing, that you realize you really want him to bring in the melon baller, and you really want him to get at those hard-to-reach places, because you see the significance and the transformative work that this process does in your life. You begin to feel the ache in your heart where you hunger for him in ways that almost can't be satisfied. You hunger for him, because you know the only thing that will bring you satisfaction, the only thing that will bring you contentment, the only thing, the only thing is to have him scoop that ick out so he can put more of him in. The only thing that will bring you peace is more of him. Less of you and more of him. We're going to skip ahead to Mark 11. Now this is Jesus, this is about 5 days before his passion. The reason he came. Here we are 3 years later. It's beautiful how the timelines are depicted through the feast, isn't it? The time of the Passover was upon them, and they were headed back to Jerusalem. Mark 11, verse 9. Verse 9 and 10. Now Jesus had sent his disciples to go and get the donkey, the colt, remember, for him to enter into Jerusalem on. And here we have Jesus. Now remember, he said he would fulfill the prophecies. Matthew does a beautiful job depicting this. He shows how Jesus fulfilled every prophecy, how prophecy after prophecy, so as the scriptures would be fulfilled, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. He quoted more of the Old Testament, more of the law and of the prophets than any other of the gospels. It's just beautiful how they strive to show us how Jesus fulfilled their promise for the King, the Savior, their Messiah. So here they are. They bring the colt to Jesus on verse 7 and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Verse 11, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple when he had looked round about on all things. And now the eventide was come. He went out unto Bethany with the 12. Here we have Jesus. He's back at the temple. Jesus, the Son of the living God, about to go to his passion, and he's back at the temple. And he takes it all in. And when even had come, they went out into Bethany. I'm sorry, verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now let me tell you something about this fig tree. If there were leaves on the fig tree, there should have been figs on the fig tree. There were 2 to 3 harvests on the fig tree. The fig tree was a symbol, a very important symbol in Israel. And if there were leaves on that tree, some of these would even have fruit for up to 10 months. But where was the fruit? And I considered for a moment as I pondered over this and I prayed over this and I prayed and I prayed and I said, you just went to the temple. Jesus, you just went to the temple. And later in the chapter, we see what he does the next day when he goes out. He just went to the temple and he looked out and he sees the same thing that he cleaned out of the temple in John chapter 2 at the beginning of his ministry. The money changers are back in their seats. He had poured into his bride for 3 years, refining her, feeding her, restoring her, healing her, and so much more, demonstrating out of their need who God is and how he is God in the flesh. 3 years he had poured into the nation of Israel. And in 3 years, they took the temple and filled it back up. So no wonder when he went to go back into Jerusalem and he says, I hungered. I thought, here he is. He says, I hunger. He's hungering for relationship with them. Relationship and intimacy and fellowship with the nation. The nation that had spent thousands of years awaiting his arrival. He has come and he has shown them. He has fulfilled every single scripture. All those except dealing with his actual death and resurrection. He had fulfilled every one of them. And they still did not see who he was. How his heart must have broken as he cried out. And what is his response? And Jesus answered. And I thought that was a very interesting way of putting this. He reached to the fig tree because they saw it from afar off. It had leaves, but when they came up close, there were no figs. But Jesus answered as though communicating in this situation. He said unto it, the fig tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And we all know that fig tree was dried up. The symbol of Israel dried up because they rejected their Messiah. And in that moment, the gospel had been opened up. The gospel would be opened up to other nations. Jesus promised, or God promised that. We saw the prophets, they wrote about it. But his promise to the nation of Israel has yet to be fulfilled. We've talked before about the pruning. He pruned off the dead branches and he grafted in the Gentiles. He's giving us this season to be ready because you see the anointing and the mantle that is on the nation of Israel is powerful. We got to grow up to be ready for when they're grafted back in. Because when the nation of Israel is grafted back in, we are going to see a move of God. We will have to run. We will have to run after to keep up. Because it is their heritage. He promised to take their heart of stone and put within them a heart of flesh. To write his laws upon their hearts and upon their minds. He promised. The heritage is there. We've had this season, the Gentiles have. We've had this season. And I'm telling you, this season is just about up. And we are going to see the nation of Israel rise. That's the one new man Paul talks about in Ephesians. I've talked about this. It's on the website. Mom's written an article about it. It's on the website. We are going to see a move of God unlike anything we've ever seen in our lives, anything that's ever been seen in history. The day we enter into that place of the one new man, when the Jew and the Gentile come side by side declaring the word of the Lord, because we have been created to what? To be a house of prayer. To be a house of prayer. And if we are truly a house of prayer, we will walk the walk, we will talk the talk, and when that time comes, we will be ready. Verse 15, and they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught the beauty of Jesus. He went into the temple. He observed what was going on. He went to Bethany, and he rested overnight. He surely spent that time in prayer. How, Father, do you want me to handle this? What is it you want me to do? Jesus was a house of prayer. I can promise you that. And he enters back in the next day, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. He's quoting Isaiah 56, 7. Jesus is cleaning house. Do you remember the ice cream scooper? Anybody out there feel like they've been dealing with the ice cream scooper? Or do you feel like you're down to the melon ball? He is cleaning out his house that we, his vessels, can be a house of prayer. We can walk in the fullness of what that means. There is an authority that will rest upon our lives. There is an anointing that will rest upon our lives. But most importantly, is that the bridegroom will have intimacy with his bride. John 17. Jesus prays for us that we would be one just as he and the Father are one, that we would be one with him. That's the only unity we need to be seeking. Unity with our Lord. Unity. Remember the wedding in Cana. The unity between a man and a woman, where the two shall become one. Jesus came and he has sought unity with us, where the two shall become one, where his thoughts are our thoughts. It's not our thoughts running around there. We don't have a little Rolodex we're spinning around with our thoughts entangled with his thoughts. Well, I'll have my thought on one card and Jesus' scripture on the other. And then I'll have my thought and then his thought and my thought. And I'll just spin it around and hope for the best. That's not what he's calling us to do. His thoughts are our thoughts. His heart, his passion is to be our heart, our passion. We are to be on fire. Having gone through the refiner's fire, we are to be on fire, vessels of light, here in the earth. His thoughts are our thoughts. His thoughts. Didn't he say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For they shall be what? Shall be filled. Filled. That means all the ice cream scoopers and all the melon balls have done their work. And we will be filled because we have hungered and we have thirsted for righteousness. There is none righteousness but him, right? There is none righteous but him. We have hungered and thirst for him and him alone. Do we have divided hungers? Do we thirst after multiple things? Or do we hunger and thirst for him and him alone? Where is our focus? Where is our fire? Where? What is our quest? Is it to become a house of prayer? I've said before, every person in ministry should be an intercessor. That's what God is calling us to be, intercessors. Every person in ministry, every child of God is created, is called to be an intercessor. And in this hour, it is more necessary than any other time in history because things are speeding up. We should have more of the word in us. We should have more of the Spirit of God in us than ever before in history. Peter would walk and people would line up so they could be in his shadow and be healed. He didn't even have to touch them or look at them. lined up so that as he walked, the shadow of Peter would pass him by. People sent handkerchiefs to Paul for him to lay hands on and send back, and they would be healed. They were pretty full of the Spirit of God. That is a powerhouse for the kingdom of God. And we have been called to do that and more. How are we going to do it if our loyalties are divided? How are we going to do that if we have not become a house of prayer? Do you realize that when we are in a place of prayer, we are in a place of open fellowship with Him? The bridegroom. That's where we have unity of the Spirit. That's where we have a oneness. That's where we have our intimacy with Him, is in a place of prayer. That's why He said we would be called a house of prayer. We were created to be a house of prayer. Luke 24:15-32, and I'm going to close with this, and I want you to really consider what this passage of Scripture says. Now, Jesus has gone through His passion. What is His passion? Us. He has done all that was necessary to bring us into intimacy with Him, to bring us behind the veil. And it came to pass. Now He's died, He's rose. Came to pass, this is the disciples, that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have to one another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, what things? And they said unto Him, Jesus, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yes, and a certain woman also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went into the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but Him they saw not. And He, Jesus, said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and He made as though He would have gone further. But they constrained Him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as He sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew Him, and He vanished out of their sight. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us by the way and while He opened to us the Scriptures? When the Scriptures are being opened and truth is being spoken to you, my friends, your heart should burn within you. When the Spirit of the Lord is calling you to prayer, your heart should burn within you. When you study the Scriptures and you ask Him for divine revelation of the Scriptures, your heart should burn within you. Why? Because you have been called to be an house of prayer. And if our hearts do not burn within us, we need to lay them bare before Him and ask Him to clean them out and put more of Him in there. Because the deeper the revelation, the greater the understanding, the deeper we are in our times of intercession, the greater the burn will be in our hearts. Because we have been called to be a house of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that You are creating in this hour houses of prayer, vessels of prayer, that You are cleaning out, Lord God. We all know I'm not talking about any building on any corner, because we are called to be a house. We are to contain the Spirit of God within us. You have created us to contain, to hold, to have more and more and more of Your Spirit. Do Your work in us, Lord God. Go deeper than You've ever gone. Take out that melon baller and go deep within our lives, Lord God, deep within our heart, and remove everything, Lord, that is not of You, everything that stands in Your way, every hindrance. If we need to forgive, help us to forgive, because unforgiveness stands in the way of us having intimacy with You. If we've got bitterness in our heart, we release it to You, Lord God, because bitterness stands in the way of intimacy with You. Anything that is in our heart, whether it's pride, whether it's lust, whether it's deceit, and yes, I say it again, unforgiveness. Anything that's in there, Lord God, reveal it to us, expose it to us, so we can lay it at Your feet, and You can fill us up, and we can become a house of prayer, a vessel of intercession, to stand in the gap, Lord God, where we would be so in tune with Your Spirit. The call of the intercessor comes quickly. We don't even have to spend the time removing distractions, because we just go to our knees and pray. Do this work in us during this period of grace, Lord God, during this season of grace that You have given us, to press in and press in and press in. Do the work in us, Lord. Do the work in us. Do the work. Do the work. Make us a house of prayer. I thank You. I thank You. In Your precious and most holy name, I seal this time with Your blood. Amen. Amen.